Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure reading God's Word with you. Today is Monday, April 7th, Missions Monday, and today we celebrate the mission of Mountain Brook Baptist and especially the student ministry. Yesterday was Student Ministry Sunday and the students led out in worship, also in Sunday school classes, and it was awesome. We thank God for you, and we pray that the Lord would continue to grow you in His Word and in His work. Our Old Testament passage today is Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 30. We're kind of picking up in the middle of the story where King Nebuchadnezzar has made an image of gold, and all the people are supposed to bow down to this image he has created. But three of Daniel's friends, you may remember them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not bow to the image. And so verse 16 is where they're telling the king, we can't do that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if He does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and rescued His servants. They trusted in Him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The line that sticks out most to me in this passage is in verse 28. They were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Just last week, I went to chapel at Beeson Divinity School, and there was a man who is from Iran, I believe, and he told the story of one of his mentors who had been warned not to preach or pray in public anymore by the officials. 2 weeks later, there was a gathering where many Muslims and Christians gathered together, and I'm not sure exactly the nature of the event, but someone had a mini sermon of like 5 minutes, and at the end of the sermon, he called on the gentleman who was my friend's mentor to pray. At first, he didn't want to get up, and he sat there. Then, when the man called for him to come up and pray one more time, he felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but he still didn't want to go. And finally, after the third time, he rose and went to the middle, I think, of like the aisle, and he prayed. After he prayed, about 2 weeks later, the authorities came and they arrested him. And word got to his family that week that he had been killed. He knew that if he prayed aloud to the most holy God, his life was in question. And yet he had to give credence to what he believed, that he knew the one true God. Because of this man's faithfulness, my friend and several others changed their life trajectory. Each of them is now serving in ministry, one in a part of the world where we can't know exactly where he is. Another, I think, is in Canada, leading out in music. And my friend is here for a year at Beeson, and he led last week in the World Missions Conference. So please say a prayer for my friend Muhammad Savani and his wife, Alicia, and their family as they seek to serve the Lord. And now let us immediately turn over to the book of Mark, which is a fast-paced look at Jesus's life. And that was kind of quippy. Mark often uses the word immediately. In today's reading, we're going to read Mark 1, 1 through 8. But as I often do, I suggest that you go over to the Bible Project website and view the little 8-minute video on the Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And this was his message, after me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And now let us turn over to the wisdom of Proverbs, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. These, of course, are warnings against the adulterous woman, and Solomon is encouraging his son to not stray down that path. The irony here is I think that Solomon strayed down that path himself, and so I guess the lesson for us is that we stay vigilant in the wisdom that we have learned throughout our lives, as God gives us nuggets of wisdom from the people around us and from His Word, that He might help us to stay faithful in the righteous path. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I want to pray for us to know God's character, and I want to pray for the mission of Mount Brook Baptist, especially for the students. Will you lift your heart to the Lord with me? Gracious God, our protector and Prince of Peace, the one who pursues us, you are the quieter of the storms, you are quick to hear, and you are the quarrel mender. You are our Redeemer and refuge and restorer and our rock. You are our Shepherd, the Son of God, Jesus, our Lord. We thank you for coming and speaking God's word to us. You are the truth, and you are trustworthy, unchanging, unsearchable, untired, understanding. You are the victor. You are the way maker. You are our wonderful counselor, our excellent God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you that you reign as Zion's righteous king. We lift our hearts to you today, Lord, and we ask over the students of Mountain Brook Baptist that you would not allow them to stray from the wisdom that they are learning here. We pray fervently for their hearts as they go off to college. Lord, don't allow them to waste their days in frivolous ways. Rather, give them a vision for what it looks like to be on fire for you, serving you, seeing their mission in united mission with the church to see people know and flourish in your kingdom. Thank you for their service yesterday. Thank you for their leaders. Bless and guide them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.